Hey, everybody. Welcome to Happy Horror Time. This is episode 2. If you listen to the first one, you are awesome. So, you know, I hate to be one of those people, but write on iTunes what you think. 5 stars. I hate people like that. So anyways, I had so much fun doing the podcast. And I wanted to share that if you prefer the visual medium of YouTube, I'm on YouTube, and the people that I interview on Happy Horror Time are Melanie Kinneman from Friday 13th Part 5, A New Beginning.
Yay!
Yeah, and Russell Todd from Friday 13th Part 2 and Chopping Mall, Jeffrey Riddick, who created Final Destination, and Peter Brackey, who did Crystal Lake Memories.
Ow!
And who else? I know it. Oh, and John Fleming of Dante's Cove.
Ow.
I know, right? Anyway, so just side note, if you like visual mediums instead of just driving around your car listening to podcasts like an old person, but I mean, you're not. You're young and hip. Millennial. So I had so much fun on my first podcast. I invited back original guest, Matt Emmert, and we so we're here to talk about very, very like new Netflix movies. We've got 2 on our agenda today.
The newest.
Yeah. Oh, welcome, Matt. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Oh, hi, Tim. Thank you so much for having me back.
Of course.
No, it was a lot of fun, and what I loved about the first one was like how easy it was to talk for 45 minutes.
Right? Because we're chatterboxes. Like, remember those Mr. Books, those little chatterbox books?
And then I was telling Tim when I listened to myself back, I was like,
Do I
other than sounding really gay, do I sound too opinionated? And Tim was like, no, that's what people want.
Yeah,
like, I guess
yeah.
If I was like, oh, whatever.
Let me just tell you off the bat.
Okay.
I don't feel that. Let me just tell you off. You're an asshole. Just kidding. Don't cuss. No. I don't feel that strongly about anything. You know what I mean? Like, my opinion.
I told Tim, I said, you be good cop, I'll be bad cop. So like, my opinions are maybe a little bit harsher than Tim's,
right.
But hey.
Well, because let me just state this. It is hard to write a movie. It's hard to make a movie. It is hard to put anything out there. So it's like, how can I really diss someone who got something accomplished?
No, and I agree.
Because you know what I've accomplished? A podcast.
Yeah, but you know what? The easiest thing is to trash talk something.
Right, right.
Anybody can say shit about something else, but not anybody can put the time and effort and money and dedication into actually getting a movie made. And it's something Tim and I have talked about many times. It's like, you know, it's easy to sit here and say like, oh, this sucks, but we didn't take the time to put it together or
but
get
here's
funding.
Where I can diss something if it's like a money grab.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, I feel betrayed. Because, you know, like, I'm really enthusiastic about Friday 13th. And, like, when they, like, oh, we're going to make the 2009 one. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was really, really good. Well, okay. That was a lot of reallys.
Oh.
But
I thought it was real. I would give it 2 to 3 reallys.
No,
I actually.
Travis Van Winkle. Woohoo.
One of the only remakes I was really impressed with. So I would give it 2 to 3 reallys.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love to give people reallys. No, but I mean, like, there's sometimes, as you know, some movies are strictly made for box office.
Yeah.
They're not made for artistic purposes.
That's true. And Tim and I are very dedicated to doing things for artistic purposes. The arts.
The arts, yes.
Support the arts, everyone. Support the arts. Am I right?
I'm
right.
Yeah, you are. Okay, so the first movie everyone can see, because I would be shocked if anyone did not have Netflix.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, remember when Netflix sent actual DVDs out, by the way? Like, that was a blast from the past, because I was just thinking about that. Like, when you would get a Netflix DVD in the mail, and you're like, oh, I can have it for 2 days, and then I have to send. You never did Netflix
that? No, I wasn't hip to that.
No, but you're hip to streaming Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And are you hip to be square?
Of course. I'm very square.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
Okay, no, it's okay. That's okay. So before we get started, today is National Coming Out Day. Are you,
are you out?
Are you out?
Shh. No. You know what? It's, yes, obviously I'm out.
Okay,
I've been out for 15 and a half years.
Wow.
And I don't want to take the podcast up to this, but like,
well, put it
in
a nutshell, you're coming out. But if it's boring, just don't bother.
It is. What I will say is I feel like, you know, I came out in many, many different ways, like through email to people, in person, talking and stuff. But I think it's great to have a day dedicated to this. I think it's really important that people come out. I didn't share my story on Facebook because
I did not either, but I loved reading them.
I did. And I think it's important that people share them and people talk about it. And hopefully more people in Hollywood, more people in sports, more people in politics will come out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on National Coming Out Day. Like, every day should be National Coming Out Day, because it shouldn't have to be such a big deal.
March 2nd.
Mine was February something. Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy that people memorize that?
Do you get, like, signs for, you know, like, there's signs for your birthday? Is there signs for coming out day?
Yeah, I'm an Aries.
I'm a Scorpio, but, like, my coming out sign is.
Oh, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I didn't even believe it.
Oh. Well, whatever. But it is National Coming Out Day, so it is, even though this won't come out on National Coming Out Day. How many times can we say coming out in one sentence?
A lot. We want everyone to, if anyone's come out, this podcast, come out. Just come out.
Yeah.
We're, like, tired of you being so secretive
and come
closeted.
Out in support of Tim's Tom podcast by rating it on iTunes.
Yeah. Five stars.
Five stars. And if you're not going to rate it 5 stars, just, like, maybe not rate
just
it or something.
Just go F yourself. I've had it.
Or go F yourself. I love that you censored yourself by saying
I'm not
F.
Say, yeah.
You, I'm not be, cussing. I said asshole
there
before.
There could be a 15-year-old out there listening to this, and they don't need to hear this.
Because 15-year-olds don't use
they
fuck.
They don't. I did not. I didn't start cussing
Come
until
on.
I was, like, 22.
I was cussing since I was, like, born.
You're sick.
My first word was...
Don't say it.
Was don't say it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, but anyway, enough. Okay. Do we want to talk more about coming out?
No. I think we... Like, okay, real quick. Here's mine. Real quick. Mine's... Two sentences.
He's
out. I came out on April Fool's Day to my mom, and my mom was like, April Fool? Question mark. I was like, no. And then I was like, tell Dad.
Wow.
I know. The end. Okay, now let's get
real topic. So now back to Netflix.
Back to Netflix. Okay, so the movie that we're going to be talking about today, we're going to be talking about
first,
many things.
Yeah.
First. This is our first one. We got together on the couch.
Beautiful couch.
I'm sitting on it now. It's very comfortable. We watched Netflix Cult of Chucky. Okay, so it's the 7th in the series. Matt, what's your first thought? First word that comes to your head when you think of the movie. Go.
No, I'm going to sound like such an asshole.
It's okay.
Trash.
No. I could see why you'd think that.
No. Let me change that. I loved the first Cult of Chucky.
There was only one.
There's 7 Cult of Chucky.
No, I love
no, no, no.
the
no,
original.
I thought Child's Play, the original, is great. I love the second one with Elise Neal. No, Elise Neal's in Scream 2. Whoops.
No.
Kyle.
What?
No. The blonde girl from Beverly Hills 90210.
Emily Valentine.
What's her actor's name?
Oh, shit. I should know this.
Okay. And I actually even really liked Child's Play 3.
Bride of Chucky was
good.
Well, wait. Put a pause on that. So in Child's Play 3, Justin Whalen is at the military school.
Exactly.
Right. And I remember thinking,
which is kind of hot. Right. Like, I mean, all you have to say is Justin Whalen in a military school and sold.
Yes. And he guest starred on Blossom. Side note. Go
and
ahead.
He was in Serial Mom.
True.
Masturbating under the blanket when he got walked in on by Kathleen Turner.
You know what? I do vaguely remember that. Yes.
Of course. Every young gay man remembers that scene.
Yeah. Justin Whalen, where are you? If you're listening to the podcast, tweet me.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't do Twitter, but just, like, tweet Tim.
You don't do tweet?
I don't. I only, like, select few times. Oh, okay. But anyway, what I was going to say is that I haven't seen Seed of Chucky or Curse of Chucky, because I guess I had my Chucky fill, but Tim had told me about Cult of Chucky. We watched it. I should change what I said at first. Like, there were, like, visually for a Chucky movie,
beautiful.
I actually thought it was beautiful. Like the landscapes and the snow and, like, the hospital. So it's like, hey, cinematographer for Cult of Chucky.
Everyone was wearing white and gray, which I thought was a very colorful choice.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not being, you know, a shithead.
I'm being like, it's a really good choice.
No. And then, so I guess I'll start with the positives. Fiona Dorff, great actress.
I agree.
Very impressed. Like, you know, there's not a huge amount of really, really, really talented actresses in straight to Netflix horror movies, I feel like, and she, you can tell, like, this is an all-around good actress, and it's really cool that she is the daughter of the voice of Chucky, so
Brad.
That's cool, right?
Is his
there
name Brad?
Yeah. Brad Dorff, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, the story, it didn't feel like a normal Chucky movie. It felt like it just got crazy. It was brutal, and I just stopped caring. Do you know what I mean?
I thought it had a really good start, but, you know, here's what I think it had going for it. You know, we're up to the 7th film. Like, what do you do then that already hasn't been done? And I think people love to be comfortable and be like, oh, we're going to see this and this is what we want out of it. So I do admire the filmmakers for trying something new. Oh, and side note, Don Mancini is a gay guy who created Chucky and he's worked on all of them for 30 years. So great. And he's totally listening.
I know. So now Don Mancini thinks I'm an asshole. No,
no,
like, no, I think you're right. I think you're right. Like, first off, to have a series that endures through that many movies, again,
30 years.
I can say shit about it, but he's the one who's continuing to create these movies, and that deserves respect and admiration.
Granted, the other films got a theatrical release and this got
nothing.
Netflix. But you know what? Netflix is the wave of the future, so I hope he doesn't think like, you know, I was about to say minor leagues because I talk very much in baseball terms.
I know.
No, but like there's major league and minor leagues, right? Okay, so it's like being on Netflix is not like minor leagues. I mean, like getting a movie out there is a huge accomplishment.
No, it is. I mean, we're like, as we sugar, how much sugar can we throw on this? No, I mean, the truth is that what I will say, though, Tim, is that remember you were saying like you always want to have something new. Like sometimes when it comes to the Chucky movies, why can't they just do more of the same? People who watch these movies already have to be okay with the fact that a doll is a killer, which right away you're going to lose a lot of people right there. So if you're okay with that and you're okay with the one-liners and like the cheesy type of things and like the dolls having sex with each other, which I missed from this one, which I enjoyed in Bride of Chucky.
Yes, Nick Stabilee.
No, he wasn't one of the dolls, but
in that particular film.
But this one, I just, I remember when I felt like it was promising when they were starting to, like, get more and more people under the spell of Chucky. And I was like, okay, I get the cult thing. Then there were, like,
spoiler alert, we're just going to give away the ending. So if you're like, oh my God, I'm going to watch it. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the crazy, but like, I think the multiple Chuckys.
I mean, I didn't mind that
each had different hairstyles.
Right.
Like,
well, that
weird.
I kind of liked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess obviously, so you can tell them apart.
Ending, I will say. Oh, and by the way, they got the original Andy from.
Yeah, that's cool.
From the original Child's Play of 1988, he was like a kid, and now he's like an adult.
It's funny how that happens,
I mean,
huh?
Life happens.
No, no, no. I mean, but what I here's a question. Why didn't he do Chucky 3?
Well, I think because it was like in 91, because the last one was in 90, so they couldn't age him to be a teenager.
Okay.
Like he was still on. Like pre-teen.
Well, let's just say that the actor playing Andy is very thankful for the series because
it
gives him a regular paycheck. And he is a good character, but again, Fiona Dorff's character, who was so memorable, I can't remember her name in it. But
I should remember, but I don't.
Yeah, but again, those are the things that stood out. The scenery, the cinematography was really cool. Fiona Dorff was a great, great actress.
The special effects weren't bad. I mean, like, puppetry, I'm all about puppetry much more than CGI. Don't give me CGI. Yeah. Don't give it to me.
I guess I feel like I would put this movie or its fan, this movie in two categories. If you're a fan of the Chucky series, then you should definitely see this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, then you're going to probably love it.
If you're a casual viewer.
That's the thing. Even though I said I like the first three movies, I kind of had given up on the Chucky series. So, yes, I may not be the best person to give an opinion of just like as a true Chucky fan. But so true Chucky fans, definitely see it. You'll like it. People that just like horror that maybe like whatever, like fair weathered about Chucky, probably aren't going to like it that much.
I'll give it my stamp of approval because I love parts 2 and 3 because as a kid, like I grew up on such a double dose of it. Like I'd watch it over and over and over and over.
Wait, you give this movie your stamp of approval or the series? Because I'll give the series my stamp of approval.
If you're nostalgic for 2 and 3, even the first one, I don't know why I'm forgetting that one. I just thought the first one's great. Catherine Hicks, awesome.
Yeah.
Seventh
Heaven.
I love Seventh Heaven. I will say the last ones with Jennifer Tilly got so jokey.
Oh.
Yeah, with Bride of Chucky. Actually, Bride of Chucky is pretty good. Okay, Seed of Chucky, I guess, is the one point where I'm just kind of like.
Well, that's where I stopped watching. Like, because I paid opening night. Yikes!
I know.
The dolls like having sex and then procreating. That's a little much. But
I had a lot of questions.
Exactly. But so, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe I would have liked Seed or Curse, but Cult.
Oh, Curse, you know, not bad. But I will say it was kind of written like a play. I mean, I don't know how they could have done it as a play, but there were certain scenes that I was like, oh, it seems like a play.
But do you agree? But I mean, how would you rank Cult of Chucky as compared to the first three Child's Play? I mean, you agree they're not as good, right? It's so hard to get Tim to say an honest negative response to anything.
No, here's the thing. It was a different time. We live in a Netflix
time. Tim, you need to run for for office.
I know. Just call me Mike Pence. Oof. Oh, I know. Don't call me that. But you know what? I hope to have hair like him.
Oh, yeah, and then just look like the Crypt Keeper. I think Pence is a horror movie right there.
I know. They're both horrible.
So would you say that Cult of Chucky was better than any of the first three Chuckies? Honest answer, Tim.
No.
Exactly.
But you know what? I saw it. I liked it. And that's
You are a true politician.
Moving on. Our next game is we're going to do another Netflix movie that... Which I think it could have gotten a theatrical release.
Yeah, I'm surprised considering.
Stephen King's hot right now with that It.
You mean Shh It.
Oh, my.
No, I'm kidding because I loved It. I just like saying Shh. Yeah, I loved it. Loved it.
I thought it was good.
You didn't love It?
Well, here's the thing. I thought it was good, but I thought the adults and the bullies were scarier than the clown.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think the clown was scary.
I will say about It. I know that wasn't one of our movies to talk about here.
Off topic.
It's a little outdated, but maybe a month, but no, it wasn't terrifying. And so if people are expecting it to be as terrifying as they tried to advertise it was, then it's going to fall short. But as a movie in general, it was great. And why I think that is because it was heartfelt. You cared about all the characters. It was funny. It was scary also. I mean, like, creepy. So I think as an all-around movie, it succeeded. If you're judging on like pure fright value, yeah, maybe it fell short. But I just enjoyed it as an overall movie. And that's, I think, what impressed me, because you don't always go into horror movies thinking like you're going to fall in love with the characters or you're going to laugh and feel heartfelt.
Stephen King is very good at creating characters that you care for. Like, I love Drew Barrymore in Firestarter. And I love Sleepwalkers.
I mean, I was about to say I love It. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously the original series and like The Stand and Carrie Christine.
You know what? I like the remake of Carrie.
Oh, I know. I like the original Carrie. But anyway, we're talking about Gerald's Game, which I haven't read the book, but I'll always remember as a teenager my mom telling me the story of the book. And my mom's a good storyteller because, like, the way she told it just sounded like terrifying. This woman is like stuck and handcuffed to the bed as her husband had a heart attack.
Wait, we should back up.
Oh.
Oh, I mean, just like brief synopsis. So she, Carla Gugino. Oh, by the way, fun fact. I was on a kickball team, and it was Troop Beverly Hills, and she was in Troop Beverly Hills. But instead of picking her character's name, I picked Carla. How do we say your last name?
Gugino.
Okay, and I spelled it wrong. And for the whole season, I'm wearing a shirt that with the Carla Gugino's.
More. Well, first off, you can't even say her name.
I can't say her name. But I'm running around playing kickball.
I'm shocked you spelled it wrong.
Whoever got my shirt. Should have checked. Maybe it was me. Who knows?
Other fun fact: Carla Gugino was in Son-in-Law with Pauly Shore.
Yeah, I love her. I think she's a great actress. So when I saw that she was in it, I really wanted to see it.
And along with Henry Thomas from E.T. Phone Home
and Psycho 4: The Beginning.
With Olivia Hussey.
Just so you know, we don't have IMDb sitting in front
of us. We aren't. We're actually just like saying this off the cuff. We just know so much.
Let me just say this. I'm a genius.
We're just so smart. No. Anyway, okay. So you were giving a synopsis.
Yeah. So they go up there to rekindle the magic of their broken marriage. Is that right? Like they're trying to. Yeah.
So poetic of you.
Well, you know, I'm
they're
trying
rekindling
to set
the
it
magic
up.
Of their. Yeah, they're going to try to have sex again and get some fire in the relationship.
Right, but okay. So as soon as he did bring out the handcuffs, one arm to this side of the bed and then one arm to the other side, and then he gets a heart attack. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, and
he falls down.
Timing.
And she's like, ugh.
And that we're not to mention they're in a cabin in the middle of the woods, like with no neighbors close by.
They do leave the door open, which is. I guess.
Well, I think they, yeah, I wouldn't, I don't usually have sex with the door leaved open. Like, I think no. they think they don't have any neighbor. I don't know. Yeah, that's a little weird, but they, yeah, it was just set up and whatever. Right. But yeah, so she's stuck, handcuffed to a bed in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. Her husband is dead on the floor. There's a dog, but it's like, I didn't know. Was that a coyote or a dog?
I don't know. It could have been a coyote or a werewolf. A werewolf.
A werewolf. Okay.
Or so now, a turtle.
So then we go to an episode of Teen Wolf. No.
Right.
No, there's like a dog that's obviously starving, and then it starts to like...
She feeds it, so we're supposed to say, okay, she's got a heart.
Exactly, right. But she feeds it. She makes a mistake of feeding it raw meat, so now it's craving raw meat.
$200 raw meat. Oh, yeah, but her husband was not happy
about. Husband
makes
sure it's known that it's... Mm-hmm. But then, when I guess, and I actually would love to look this up, would dogs, like, I guess domesticated dogs, start eating a person if they were just... Well, I guess if they were dead and started to smell, maybe, oh, but...
So, going back, she, like, kind of... Does she kick him off the bed? Or I don't think he... Did she want him to fall off
no,
the bed?
No, he falls off the bed.
Oh, okay. So then the dog wanders in because, like, time goes by. She can't get out off the bed, which is terrifying in itself. Like,
oh, yeah.
But first off, I hate to talk about this topic, but... This is why we're here.
But okay. When I was handcuffed to a bed in the cabin.
When I was handcuffed to a bed, I was like, huh, if someone comes by, I really want to get out. No, does she pee or poo?
No, they don't show. And it's so funny because they show like.
That was my number one question.
Yeah, I know, I know. And I thought that they would address, like, considering they addressed like every little thing about like her needing like a sip of water and just like all the basic like necessities of survival. But they do not talk about her soiling, her slip, because she's only wearing a slip. So
which,
meaning it would have gone into the bed.
As an actor or actress in that position, like, how awful would it be? I mean, like, I'm sure she went on method and was like, just keep me handcuffed. Oh, or maybe she didn't. I don't know.
Well, and then, but just to move forward on this, the book and the movie, and I haven't read the book, but just from hearing about
it. I definitely didn't read the book.
Because you can't have an entire, I guess, book or movie with just one character there, she starts to imagine what A, her dead husband would say to her in this situation,
oh, that was
and
clever.
B, what she, like another side of herself, a stronger, more confident, because she's kind of a little bit of a weaker, like subservient woman is what I got the idea from.
Yeah.
And then there's like a part of her, I guess, imagination that's her as a much more confident, strong woman. And her, but then it also goes into her past where she was molested by her father when she
played
was a kid.
I almost said Henry Winkler, but it's
Henry Thomas, yeah. From E.T. But I mean, but it's all setting the scene for the fact that she's let like men, her father, her husband walk all over her and just been kind of weak. And now she really, I mean, if she's going to survive, she has to figure a way out of this.
Right.
But I will say this, like my thoughts on the movie overall. Like, as a horror movie?
Wait, put it pause. Sorry. No, I was just going to say.
Jumping right in.
I just want to jump right in. But, like, didn't it remind you of Dolores Claiborne? Isn't that, like, Jennifer Jason Leigh is molested by her dad?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, same writer, right? Dolores Claiborne
is
the same.
So I feel like Stephen King was like, you know what? Let me try this one more time.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get it right.
Little different. Well, I will say this. Like, I mean, like, I liked the movie. I thought it was very intense.
Yeah.
I don't know if I liked it as a horror movie.
I don't want to say psychological thriller because it wasn't thrilling.
It wasn't. There is the one terrifying thing, and I think what terrified me as a kid when my mom told me about it, because apparently my mom liked to tell me about scary things when I was a kid.
She's like,
which
hey,
I'm
going to tell you this horrible story. Good night.
Is the man, the moonlight man or whatever, who sneaks in. So first off, they've cast the giant from Twin Peaks, and any Twin Peaks watchers out there know, like, he's huge, he's got a big head, but they've even made him look even freakier.
And they did it in a way, like, with the lighting. I actually thought I was dreaming, and I hate when people talk about
because
dreaming.
Because it's like, so basically to set the scene, it's nighttime, she's handcuffed to the bed, so imagine it as helpless as you feel when you're handcuffed, and then there's this, even saying it gives me the chills, like there's a creepy, tall, weird-looking guy standing in the corner of your room in the dark staring at you. He's just staring.
And
that
agree,
is one 100%. Of the most terrifying things ever, having someone just watching you and you're so helpless that you can't do anything. And so those scenes, the way they did them in the movie, I thought were real. I wish they did more of those in the movie. But I think there was so much story to cover, they couldn't just focus on, like, the fright aspect.
I agree. Like, that was... You know what? If it did just have that one scare, I think it did its job because it leaves you with something. Like, when you're done with the movie and you walk away and live your life, that will be the one scene that sticks out.
Oh, my God. I went to bed after watching, and I just was thinking, like... Because, first off, your mind plays tricks on you in the dark anyway, and you can always think that you are seeing someone in the corner.
Right. And really, so, it's just a jacket hanging on your wall.
In your bedroom. Because yeah. You hang jackets on the
yes,
wall.
Yes, I do. I've got hooks. You got I've hooks. Got lots of hooks.
Hooks. All of the, but like, but that whole aspect was scary. But did you feel like, Tim, like the movie had, it's like different parts. There was like her childhood and how it turned her into who she was. Then there was a scary man who was there watching her. Then there was like, how's she going to survive? So it was like a lot to all put together into one movie.
Yeah, I felt like there was like three different movies going on, which was fun. But I was like, okay, are we just going to have like, you know, her fighting the dog, like Cujo? You know, like I was like, because if you think about it, it's all Stephen King's movies in a blender. And then it wraps up in 15 minutes with a 15-minute voiceover.
Yeah, and that's what I would say was the weakest part. Like, well, first off, and for anybody who's squeamish or whatever, the part, and I, whatever, spoiler, oh. The part of her getting out of the handcuffs is incredibly gory.
It is, like, but it was CGI. Really, I mean,
it was CGI'd.
But I don't know how you film that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could do, but it's like, I mean, put Saw to shame, that or more just in line with Saw.
Yeah.
Like, I felt nauseous after watching that.
I didn't feel nauseous.
Oh, I did. But I was just
I
eating pasta
fine.
And ripping my hands
no,
off.
No, it was absolutely disgusting. But you know, the part that really got me, in addition to her ripping her hand off, is like she's starving. She's yeah. thirsty. Like, how do you
thirsty.
Funk? She's thirsty for sex.
Yeah.
No, she's thirsty in the sense like she hasn't drank anything. We don't know how many days she was there.
Yeah, I guess four? It just seemed like three, four. Yeah, that's
I mean,
what I thought.
I don't know how long you can go without
water. I mean, like, but getting into the end part, yeah, it was, I felt like the end was a cop-out, but at the same time, I understand it, because what happened was they need to cover, like, the whole ending in a certain amount of time, and it's like, well, how can we do this? A voiceover, you know? Yeah. It's like, it's
it
almost
was like
they
it
have
was
a
like
huge,
a,
probably had like four chapters to cover, and oh god, we don't have enough time, so just like throw a voiceover in
yeah.
and we'll do
it.
It
was like, you know how they have voiceovers like on Sex and the City?
Yeah.
This one just lasted
minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why, and it totally took you out of, like, if it had ended with like when she's driving away and thinks she's, well, and driving away,
right.
That would have been a good ending, yeah. But then it's like, yeah, it
then
was
she
too
walked
much
into
voiceover.
The courtroom, and I was like, what?
Well,
the?
That's the thing. And it was like, then it was like a all like a female empowerment type of story, which I'm all for, but like that also took away from the horror aspect. So again, that's why I wouldn't even classify this as a horror movie.
So basically, it's called Happy Horror Time, but we did a movie that was not a horror movie.
But yeah, from a horror writer.
Right, right, right.
And that's the thing though, but I was so excited to watch it because I'd heard about it, and you know, yeah, like you said, Stephen King is hot right
now.
I'm
glad I watched it, and I do recommend it for people that, because it's filmed really dreamy.
Yeah, and first off, the acting is great. She's amazing in it, and so is her husband, and so is Henry Thomas, this creepy guy.
Aren't you curious about the age difference between Carla and that guy?
You know why I think Carla's older than we think she is.
I think she's my age. I think she's like...
Really? Because she looks amazing.
She does.
But like she's been around for a while, so unless she's been doing movies since she was a teenager.
When was Troop Beverly Hills 88? That was 30 years ago.
And was she a troop leader or a troop member?
She was a troop member.
Oh, she was a kid.
Yeah, she was a kid.
She's still got to be in her late 40s.
I think, yeah.
But her husband must have been late 50s, early 60s.
That sounds right. But you know what? People date older, younger.
Hey. No, I mean, for the act, I mean, I would definitely, I mean, not that we should be matching movies up against each other, but
no.
I would recommend it. If you're going to go for a Netflix movie, I'd probably recommend it over Cult of Chucky, unless you're a diehard Chucky fan. If you like Stephen King, if you've read it, you definitely should see it. If
you
drunk, like Stephen King,
watch Cult of Chucky. If you're sober, watch Gerald's
exactly.
Game.
And if you're stoned, watch Gerald's Game, because then you'll really freak out at the shadowy
I
parts.
Don't do that. But I'm judging you if you
Tim has a joint in his hand right now.
Listen.
Just kidding, though.
It's a long day.
But so that's what I would say. But like, I mean, but two very different movies.
Yeah. So our last film that we're going to talk about is on Sci-Fi. I think it's probably playing all month on the Sci-Fi. And you know, my friend Tommy Hudson Houston.
Houston.
I can't pronounce names.
It's like Houston Street in New York, but it's spelled Houston.
Right. Okay, so he wrote this movie called Truth or Dare. It's on the Sci-Fi Network, and I thought it was really good.
So this is totally sounding like we're sucking up because
I know,
you
know
the person.
I know. No,
because
but
I was
true.
Just about to say, and Tim and I haven't even talked about it, so we were saving it for the podcast, but I was really impressed,
too. It was great.
Really impressed. First off, can't believe, I don't think I've ever seen a better movie on Sci-Fi. We're talking about the channel that shows like the gorilla platypus shark versus the something
tarantula
something.
Avalanche.
Tarantula avalanche
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but sci-fi, but quick side note to Channel Zero No End House, which is a TV horror series, which you should definitely check out because it's really freaky and really good, and it's on sci-fi. But apparently sci-fi is now investing in doing more horror, which, great, yeah. Great job. But Timon told me about this movie, and I watched it. I was lucky enough
to see it with Tommy, the writer, and the cast.
Name drop.
I don't want to talk about
it. Funny enough, the first thing I noticed, and I told Tim from it, it was like, oh my God, the girl from Sharknado is in it, because like my favorite character in all the Sharknado movies, who plays Nova. I don't know what her name is, something, Cassandra, whatever. She's in it, and I love her, so I was like, okay, cool. And then I looked, and there was a couple hot guys in
the
movie.
There were two hot guys. There was a blonde and a dark-haired one.
And a dark guy. They were both hot.
They covered all of them.
And we're forgetting effing Heather Langenkamp is in it. And Nightmare on Elm
Street.
Donna
Boone. Her name is Donna
Boone. No,
I loved that they named her Donna Boone.
I mean, just like Heather Langenkamp is in it, sold already. Yeah. But I watched it. I was really, really impressed. I will say this. The last 30 minutes are incredibly gory and definitely not for the squeamish. Like, I mean, if it is really, really uncomfortable to watch.
It is so uncomfortable. But you know what? I think that's what movies are for, to make you feel uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, and just to give the quick synopsis of it, first off, for a movie like this, what I will say is you do have to suspend disbelief. I mean, if you don't believe in supernatural, I agree. Obviously you're not going to believe in this.
Tommy and whoever the other writer is, I should know, but I don't.
You're like, I only know the one who has my friend.
I only know the one that talks to me. there was a point where I was like, well, why don't they just leave the house? Because, little quick setup, they go to this old mansion
like
where
10 college students.
I don't think
friends.
There's 10. Is there 10?
7.
Okay. Anyways, numbers. And so, like, in back in 83, did it say 83?
I don't remember that.
Okay. Back when Donna Boone was there.
Donna Boone.
Donna Boone, a.k.a. Heather Langenkamp. Oh, if you don't want to hear spoilers, turn this thing off.
If you don't want to hear spoilers, then
why are you even listening?
Whatever.
So they go to this house, and I don't think they start playing truth or dare. Oh, yeah, they play truth or dare.
Yeah.
And like, but if you don't do the dare,
the dare does you. And I was like, okay, so if the dare is like to have sex with someone, does that mean if you don't do it, then they have sex with you? Because sold. No.
Right. I'd be like writing, you know, like, oh my God, Channing Tatum, and all of a sudden he's there.
Look, I dare you to have sex with Channing Tatum. No, I'm not going to do it, okay? He's going to have sex with you.
But this is where the movie, like, for me, like, really got me is when they were boarded in, okay, so they can't get out, and then their cell phones don't work. Okay,
well,
so
just to back up, I was going to tell our audience, so you know, obviously it's a supernatural, it's like a demon or whatever, a supernatural presence that's controlling this, so meaning they don't have a choice. Like, the dares are being, like, they start, and it's going to be a normal truth or dare game where they're going to write things on papers, but literally after the first dare, they realize that everything that on the papers was not written by them, and then things like the dares start showing up on walls, on mirrors, and it gives them a time amount, and if they don't finish in that time,
it says 2 minutes.
Dare does them, and it also usually results in their death.
Yeah, so good luck.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously, Truth or Dare isn't that.
I mean, it kind of reminded me of Final Destination, but it didn't have the, like, time limit on it.
Well, it reminded me of a combination of Final Destination with, if you ever saw the movie Would You Rather with Brittany Snow, which I also thought was really good, actually.
I love Brittany
Snow. A little bit like that. Yeah, Pitch Perfect's Brittany Snow.
Mm-hmm. Prom Night remake. Yeah,
exactly. But Would You Rather was really great, so check that out, because that's on Netflix, too. But it reminded me of a combination, but the idea that they took Truth or Dare and they gave it like a horror supernatural twist was really cool. The dares were really cool and crazy and like just
gross.
So unbelievably gross. And the character, I actually will say this, like, it's not that there was any character that I was like so in love with or whatever, but the acting I think was really good. Like, they really seemed traumatized. The two main girls.
The two main girls were so good.
They were, I mean,
I wanted them to succeed.
Well, but so then we got to talk about the ending
It's
spoiler.
It's a lot to unpack, but let's do it.
Okay. So it's down to the last two girls, Sharknado girl and other girl.
Right.
And and like the last dare says like kill her, which and they're in a car because they're trying to take them. She's trying to take one her friend to the hospital because the dare before she had to cut off her leg, which
they show it on sci-fi.
I mean, they just showed her like going going crazy and like just hacking.
But
at
did you
it.
See it like the leg drop?
I did see the leg
okay,
drop.
So,
I didn't
okay,
see.
Okay,
yeah.
You saw the same version.
But like, yeah, but I will say, yeah, they did. Yeah, the excruciating pain, because you know how like when you see movies,
but
you see
you know,
an appendage get cut off.
I thought it was worse than Saw. Is it worse than Saw? Because I actually cared about these two girls, and I think in the movie Saw, the characters are introduced too quickly that
well,
I'm like, I don't care.
What I liked about this one is that they didn't show, what I was going to say is that, you know how in other horror movies, when you cut an appendage off or something off, it's always cut off in like one clean swipe or something. Right. Newsflash. Life and your body doesn't work that way. If I were to try to cut Tim's wrist off right now, which maybe I should know.
Please don't.
It would take a lot of work. It would be like little bits cut off. So what I liked about this movie is that like when they were pulling teeth, remember like he kept trying to pull his tooth out and it wouldn't come out. That's how real life would
disgusting.
Go. It's disgusting, but it's realistic. Like it's excruciating. That's the thing. When she's trying to hack her friend's ankle at the ankle, it's not one clean swipe. She has to keep hacking at it. Her friend's like screaming and, you know, I'm
like,
dying.
If one of my friends started screaming, I would just stop.
Well, no, I wouldn't be able to do it either. I mean, I mean,
because I was looking at it from that point of view. I was like, could I do this? And I think that's the whole point of the movie. It's like, could you do it?
Well, I was going to say, like, at some point, I would just be like, just kill me. Like, I mean, but anyway, the ending, she's driving with her friend and it says to kill her. And her friend's like, and I love how her friend's like, yeah, just do it. Like, her friend was so easily willing to just give up her life or just do it. And she's like, no, I'm not giving you to the game, whatever. But then she puts on her seatbelt and just drives really fast and rams into a tree. And then, like, the screen goes black, and right at the end, you just hear one voice take a deep breath in, like, wake up from whatever this crash was and go, and then the credits roll.
But we don't know who that is, right?
We don't know which one it is or what happened.
It's open to interpretation.
And that's the thing. And I was like, but it ended, I will say, it ended so abruptly, and I blame more sci-fi than the filmmakers for this, that, like, literally, like,
I didn't
want
to see anymore.
Oh, see, but I heard that you watched an actual screening of it. Sci-fi goes right from that deep breath to the credits and, like, the next show. Oh. So, like, I was like, did that just end? Like, it, like, struck me.
To, like, a hamburger commercial.
To a hamburger. But, I mean, so, well, but here's my question for you. So, who do you think survived? Or also, just because you take a deep breath after a crash, you could be bleeding internally and dead.
Right, but you still are alive. I'm going to say the girl from Sharknado.
I was going to say it, too.
Because
I felt like
here's
it was her.
The thing.
She put her seatbelt on. Did you notice the other girl didn't put a seatbelt on?
Well, and also, the other girl, not considered a bad girl, but at the beginning, she did cheat on her with her boyfriend.
Yeah, the girl, the friend who lasts till the end with Sharknado girl, had cheated on her.
Die.
Yeah, had cheated on her with the boyfriend. So obviously she was gonna die. But again, I just love how the dare says kill her, and the friend's like, yeah, just do it.
Well, I mean, she got her leg chopped off, and I can't remember. Her teeth were pulled out.
Was
her earlobe cut off, or was that
no,
the other
No, that
girl?
Was Sharknado.
That girl, she did that so quickly. She's like, I've done this before.
But when they were cutting off the elbow skin, like,
that
took forever. Yeah, I love how whoever's listening who hasn't seen this is like, what the fuck
are
they talking about?
Hopefully, do yourself a favor. Find the movie Truth or Dare, and if you're a horror fan, watch it.
But I will say, as a warning, if you're squeamish, the last half hour is going to be very tough to watch. Let's not sugarcoat. I loved the movie.
Me too.
If you don't like supernatural stuff or think supernatural stuff is hokey, well, then you're not going to believe it. But if you are okay with that,
for
you're going to love
reason,
this movie.
I just hook, line, and sinker. I just accepted it all. I was like, this is true.
I think it's almost like when you have a supernatural aspect of a movie, like, anything can happen. So, like, that's why, like, when you were saying, like, why didn't they leave the house? Well, demon keeps them in, you know,
right.
Which it did. But there was really no way. Oh, and by the way, we didn't even say who Heather Langenkamp plays. She plays
Donna Boone.
Well, I mean, but who? I know. It's like, well, who the hell is Donna Boone?
She offered everyone candy.
It's true. And she was complaining about bad dreams with a guy with knives for fingers. No.
Full circle.
Locked. All locked.
Sorry. No one knows what you're talking
Nightmare
about.
Nightmare on Elm Street 1 reference. Sorry. Heather Langenkamp plays the only survivor from a Truth or Game.
Truth
or Dare game, similar to what happened like 20 years ago. All of her friends died, and she was like severely burned because the final dare was hers, and she had to pour acid over her face, which is always fun.
I know. I was like, you know, and that's in the first 2 minutes of the movie. I was like, where can you go when someone pours acid on their face?
Right after her friend jumped off or fell off of a building.
Well,
and
he was supposed
died.
To jump off, but I think. Did he jump or did he?
He tripped and then he fell
and he
died.
But I mean, I
you
don't
know
think
who
anyone...
I felt the worst for in Truth or Dare, and also because like I always, Is it weird that I always feel worse for, like, the cute guys who die because I'm...
You're into them?
I'm into them, and I want to have sex with them and then make them my boyfriends, and yeah. But the blonde guy who's really, really cute, well, because he
shot
took,
himself.
Yeah, because, but he took... They were, had to, one of the dares was Russian roulette for a couple rounds, and another girl was going to do it, and he took it for her to do it, and of course, it's the bullet and just shot himself in the head.
I know,
head.
That was
I
a good one.
Bad.
I'm like, that was a good one.
That was a good one. I thought the robbery one was interesting, yeah.
That was different because it took it... I know, like, the whole thing was to be scary. Like, okay, it's not going to just happen in the house. It's gonna, it can happen anywhere. So
that's
really
another thing. Yeah, and what, that, and that's the thing. This movie does not take place in one night. Like, the game starts, and when the first person dies, they're just like, okay, we're done, and they're able to get out of the house, and they think the whole game is done. But the game, so it's not about the house that they're in. The game follows right. them to anywhere they are.
It could
are.
Be at a gas station,
or at Madagascar.
I don't even know what that is. What's is that Madagascar? A Disney movie?
It is. location, but yes. So anyway, Tim, so of those three movies,
yes,
how would you rank them? Ooh, put Tim on the spot.
You like a grade, like ABCD?
Yeah, and I okay. know you're gonna be like A.
Cult of Chucky A+.
Oh,
Gerald's Game.
Take whatever Tim. It's like when you tell your age and you say take whatever that age is,
no,
and like
no,
add
no,
it
no.
by something.
Okay.
Take whatever Tim gives okay. and minus it by two grades.
Okay, so yeah. I guess, you know, I liked, you know what, here's the thing. I'm so entertained by everything. You put something in front of me, I'm like, that was good.
Yay! Give
Yay,
Tim a Rubik's
movies!
Cube. Give Tim a Rubik's Cube. Yay! A+.
No. Oh, I could never do it.
Oh, you're
so,
true.
Side note.
Okay, okay.
No, okay, so to wrap this up, because we are coming to an end, I would say Cult of Chucky, you know, it's good. Jennifer, it's
no,
entertaining.
No, grade.
Okay.
Oh my
Let's
God.
Say a B+.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Gerald's Game for the performances, A-. And Truth or Dare, A.
Okay. So now for the real ratings. No, I would give Cult of Chucky a C-. And I think that's actually not the worst. I mean, well,
no.
It is. Obviously, it's not the worst. I'd give Cult of Chucky a C-. I would give Gerald's Game a B. Because again, it teetered between genres, and there was a lot of good, but it was just, and that voiceover takes it a grade down. And I would give Truth or Dare and A-. And the only reason I would give it the minus is because of how gory it was. Because I'm not big into gory stuff. I think it was necessary for the movie,
yeah.
But like. You know, I think unfortunately people may say like, oh, it's too gory and give up. And it's like Saw, but don't give up on it because it was good.
And
it was
good.
I
love Saw.
And again, an A-minus is a great grade. Like, I'm just being, I mean, like, there wouldn't be a huge amount of movies I'd give A's or A+'s to. So an A-minus for an effing sci-fi movie is really good.
Yeah. And I don't even know another sci-fi movie that I've actually watched.
I've watched all those Sharknadoes.
That's your brave.
I because the first one was so, it's so hokey and campy that it's fun, but it's gotten to, I think now they had the fifth one. It's so bad that like it is unwatchable. It's not almost unwatchable.
I love Tara.
But Tara Reid.
I know. She's tough stuff. She's tough.
Well, but it's not just tough stuff. She just doesn't look good at all. Like, I don't know what happened to her.
We're not shaming her looks.
Well, I just don't. But like, she used to be this like.
I know. I saw American Pie. I get
I know,
where you're going.
But people who age well, though, Ian Ziering, though, he's like 52 and he looks amazing.
He does look good.
Yeah, and Carla Gugino looks great too. I don't know how old she is, but she looks great. So this is not just shaming.
I know. Well, I'm 25.
This is truth
so...
talk, Tim. Truth. Tim
truth
is 25
talk.
And he looks 22.
Thank you. All right, so. Next time, hopefully we're going to do Happy Death Day.
Hey, yes, for all of you, it's coming out. Well, if this comes out Friday the 30th, but Friday the 13th, not only is big for horror fans, but considering it's in the month of October, that is a huge deal.
And by the way, movie theaters that aren't showing Friday the 13th, bravo Arclight, but I mean, they are showing the first one. Good job. Yeah. But I mean, like other theaters around Los Angeles, please show Friday the 13th all the time.
And show like multiple of them. I mean, since there's 10... Or 11,
yeah.
10, 11. I mean, like, don't just show and also, obviously, the first one is a classic, but it's not like you can't show, like, part 6 and still please people.
Everyone
or, like,
Jason
part 7,
lives.
My favorite, part 7.
Is it really?
Oh, I've told you that a million times.
Well, I was
a million
I'm not
times.
Even listening.
But, and then what is, like, 2.5 weeks after Friday the 13th, Halloween?
Oh, yeah. Oh, real quick, we'll talk about that really quick. So, Matt, what did you hear about the new Halloween?
Oh, so this is, okay. But see, this could be an entire.
Okay,
new podcast, but
you
I'll try to get, yeah.
Okay, well, real quick.
the latest news, because we covered like Jamie Lee Curtis returning to the Halloween series in the last episode, but recent break is that they're ignoring not only every sequel after two, but every sequel after one, which means she is not Michael Myers' sister.
They cast as Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter?
Judy Greer. But the thing is that, like, I, as a diehard Halloween fan, I think that was my trademark line from your last podcast. I think I repeated that over and over.
Tweets, so many
as
tweets.
A diehard, no. I hate that because the connection between Laurie and Michael being his sister is iconic. It gives it more of like a motive and why it was so personal and why he targeted her so much. I know it's scarier without a motive, but like the fact that he was following specifically her and stalking her, when they unveiled that it was her sister, I thought that was really creative. So like ignoring that and making her no relation but 40 years later still invested is weird. So I'm not happy with that, Tim. I'm not.
I know. Well, at least, you know, your series is making movies. My Friday 13th's been stuck since 2009.
But don't just give it time. I think you're right, because I'm always been a Halloween guy. Tim's been a Friday the 13th guy. But if the new Halloween does well, and it has
to do well,
because it looks like it's going to be a pretty good story, even without the sister thing, and it's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Which, I think Judy Greer is the main
It's
draw.
Judy Greer. That's what got it.
That's,
yeah.
For me.
If it does well, you can guarantee you they're going to go right into Friday the 13th, part 208. So
I hope so. All right, you guys. You guys. Because, you know, there's more than one people. All right,
you hundreds of people.
I know there's...
But Jesus is
three people listening. Thank you for listening to Matt and I ramble on a couch.
Couch. Thank you. Good transition.
Okay, thank you. If we don't talk to you, happy Halloween, happy Friday 13th, happy Death Day.
And happy Hard Time.
All right, bye, kids.